People learn best in different ways. Some people are happy reading the manual or the help file that comes with a computer program. Others want a blindness-specific tutorial. And in that group, there are a multiplicity of ways that people like to learn too. Some like to have a tape recorder beside the computer, stopping and starting and being guided, listening to the computer as they work through the steps. Others would prefer to have a braille copy either on their braille light or other note taker, or in hard copy. Others want a standard text file that they can have in another window on their computer. The Iowa Commission for the Blind's Project Assist tutorials gives everybody a chance to learn how they want. Michael Barber, an assistive technology analyst with the Iowa Commission for the Blind's Project Assist, joins us now to tell us a little bit about the tutorials on offer. Nice to have you on Main Menu, Michael. Thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about the history of Project Assist, how it came about.
Project Assist came about as a result of a great need that we saw in Iowa and around the country of blind persons who were suddenly having been used to the DOS environment in their jobs, and all of a sudden they were forced into the Windows environment without any instruction. I was one of those, by the way. I had used DOS since 1990 when I first started to learn a computer, and in about 1995, the financial company I worked for decided it was time to go to Windows. And all of a sudden, there I was, with no instruction, no experts to teach me how to use Windows, and so before I knew it, I was faced with a real challenge, a daunting one at that. So I had to find a quick way to learn Windows as best I could, plus to learn a screen reader. So I was able to get a hold of Doug Wakefield's tapes, Opening Windows, and that was for Windows 3.1, and that really helped me a lot. It gave me somewhat of an understanding of how Windows worked and so forth. And then, after I kind of got my feet wet there, I learned how to use JAWS for Windows. That was the major screen reader I used after doing some experimentation with others. And so then everything from there on out was trial and error. There was no instruction. Our state agency, good as it was, had no expertise in the area of Windows. And the lady who later became my supervisor called me one day and asked if I would be willing to write a letter in support of a grant which would start a project which would enable blind people to learn how to use Windows and Windows applications. And of course, I jumped at the opportunity. So I wrote my letter. And the other letters were written by other folks. The grant was applied for, and it was received in 1996. The jobs were open for four positions. I applied for one, never dreaming I would get it, and I ended up getting the job. And I've been with the Department for the Blind ever since. I'm very happy and thoroughly enjoying my job.
So you have four people working on this tutorial project, right?
Yes, we actually have four people. We actually have one part-time one as well. We have two folks who do what I do, which is a project analyst. In other words, what we do is we get into the software, into the different programs that we're working on, and really dig in there and see how a screen reader is going to work with these applications and see what workarounds we have to end up doing. Then we have a lady who is what we call our assistive project instructor, and she came to us with an excellent background in teaching. She had some elementary teaching, but she also worked with a wonderful computer training company here in Des Moines, Iowa. And so she brought with her a lot of knowledge and a lot of expertise in this area. So she was able to help design some really good project tutorial outlines for us to follow. And then we have a documentation specialist, and as I told you before we started recording, I said she's the one that makes us look good because she goes in and straightens up our writing and makes it look good on paper and does a very, very excellent job.
One of the things that's immediately striking about these tutorials is that you make them available in such a way that they are screen reader specific. Was that something that you've always done from the beginning?
Yes, sir. Let me tell you, we started out by deciding what screen readers we would address. The only way we could think to do that at the beginning was to do a survey throughout our state of known blind computer users. I think we had like 403 surveys that we sent out. And of course you never get them all back, but we did get quite a few back. And we determined that JAWS for Windows, Window Eyes, Window Bridge, and WinVision were the four that we would address at that time. And that's when we started using Windows 3.1. Well, we went through that phase, and then we got into Windows 95, and we continued working with these particular screen readers. And then as we got into Windows 98 and things became more advanced, after our first three-year project grant finished up and we started into a new grant, we found we had to start selling the tutorials because we were giving them away at first. And so when we had to start selling the tutorials, we started going really by the most popularly demanded screen readers. And that narrowed it down to two, JAWS for Windows and Window Eyes. And so we've basically been putting our efforts toward those two particular screen readers at this time, and doing tutorials using those particular screen readers.
Yes, I note that initially people were able to go onto your website and just download whatever they wanted, and now you are selling them through a very accessible, I might say, e-commerce solution. Was it that the finances reduced for the project, or have the costs increased to keep up with all the new applications that are coming out?
Actually, the funding that we started out with was a lot more than what we're getting now. And because of that factor, we had to start selling the tutorials. What we tried to do, we looked at the market as far as tutorials for blind computer users were concerned, and we intentionally stayed below those prices. Not to undersell anybody or put them out of business or anything like that, but we wanted to make our tutorials as available to as many people as possible. And we felt that the $35 price that we charged for our tutorials was more than reasonable, considering all the hours that we put in on these things.
Now, the tutorials are available in a number of formats. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. You can download our tutorials electronically from our website, which would be, and I can repeat this later on too, http://www.blind.state.ia.us/assist. That's A-S-S-I-S-T. And on that site, then you'll be directed to a place where you can download any of the tutorials we have available. You can also order these tutorials on that website as tapes, and they come with tapes and the electronic disc as well. The downloaded tutorials, just the electronic part itself, is $25. The discs and tapes together are $35, and we send those free reading matter for the blind and physically handicapped unless a person wants to have second day shipping, and then that's an extra, I believe it's $7.50 for that. So it would be $35 plus the $7.50 for that if they want to have it shipped second day. I don't know how long it's taking people to get these free reading matter, but some people don't want to wait. They want to get them right away and get busy with them. So, and you can use Visa or MasterCard to order your tutorials.
It's instant gratification, of course, if you want to download the tutorials, because your credit card is approved on the spot, and then you go ahead and download it. And I guess this conversation is a little bit like menus and submenus, really, because once you get the downloadable version, you get it in a number of formats, I note.
Yes, what you do, we have a setup file, and it's an executable. And you you run this setup file from the start menu. You press the start key and then go to the run dialog box and then type setup. If you've loaded it onto a disk, you would of course type /setup, or if you just put it on your hard drive, you just type in the path to where that goes. And what happens is these files will be extracted to a directory called assist, and then if you're using JFW, it would be assist/JFW/, and then further subdirectories according to what the tutorial is. So if it's Word, it might be assist/JFW/Word/, and then the tutorials come in Word formats, text formats, and also what's known as a BRF, or a Braille ready file, that we put together for those who have Braille embossers and want to produce these in Braille for themselves.
And of course you can also note it to your Braille light, for example, and just have the Braille light or some other Braille display beside you.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah, you can also do that. Use your Braille display or put them on your Braille light if you want to. You bet.
Now, I'm interested in how you actually choose, first of all, the products that you're going to cover, because there's a lot of stuff that blind people are using, and you've got limited resources. So how is that decision made?
Well, what we do, we try to do surveys, and we did a survey probably a year and a half ago, which directed us into the second part of our project. That survey showed us that people were really interested in learning things like Word 2000, learning more about Excel, learning about how to use Microsoft Access, how to use different mail programs like Outlook and Outlook Express and Eudora and some of the other programs. And so we take that survey and we have a database which shows what kind of requests we have, and we just go from there, and we just follow by what that database has been telling us. A lot of times, what we do is, in our state, we have, as other states do here in America, folks who are involved in the business enterprise program, where they have their own vending facilities. One of the things that we're looking into right now is some way to help these guys be able to keep their own books using some kind of a speech-friendly, hopefully, accounting package. And we've been looking into that lately.
Well, I'm sure that will be really encouraging to many people who are self-employed. Once you've chosen the product, then there's a question of what to include in the tutorial, because it's almost impossible, I would guess, with the resources that you have to reproduce the manual in, say, a JFW-friendly or a Windowise-friendly format. So how do you make the decision about what topics you're going to cover once you've chosen a product?
That's where our teacher comes in, our instructor. She has really done a good job of putting a nice user-friendly format together. And let me talk to you about how we format these tutorials, so that they're kind of the same. Each one has the same sort of way of doing things. First, we cover fundamental tasks. So we attempt to cover fundamental tasks that the particular program performs, rather than focusing on what the screen reader can or can't do. We provide the reader with enough information to complete basic tasks covered in the tutorial, so that hopefully he or she will be able to figure out how to do other things that maybe we don't cover in the tutorial. And each tutorial will take a strictly keyboard approach. All exercises will cover the keystrokes necessary to complete the tasks. The tutorials that we have developed are totally self-paced. In other words, the reader can just go through them at their ease, and they don't necessarily have to be instructor led. So going back to your question though, as far as the topics and so forth, basically what we do, we kind of divide the tutorial up a little bit. In lesson one, we start with kind of an introduction which covers terms terms and styles used throughout the tutorial, along with information about our project. And then lesson one always covers basic information about the program that we're dealing with. In other words, and that would mean what the program is and what it does, what the screen looks like, toolbars, scroll bars, status bars, etc. In lesson two, then, we covered tasks which will teach the reader how to start the program, how to open a document or a worksheet or a database, depending on what the program is, how to save their work, how to exit the program. And then subsequent lessons will cover other basic features of the program, such as editing and printing, or in the case of Microsoft Access, performing simple calculations. Then in the Word tutorials, we cover areas such as formatting, spell checking, proofreading, the whole works. We get into all that so a person can learn how to make a picture-perfect document. And then the final lesson will always be what we call Beyond the Basics. This is always optional. The reader maybe will want to do that right away, or maybe will want to do it later on when they feel more comfortable. But it actually introduces them to, oh, let's say, for instance, in Word, it will introduce them to the grammar checker, to autocorrect, printing envelopes, or in the case of Excel, formula palettes, and so forth. In our tutorials where we deal with email, we'll, of course, in the first lesson, teach them about terms associated with the program and what the screen looks like. Then in lesson two, we teach them about the structure of our message and how, what it looks like and how to begin a new message and how to send a message. And then later on in the tutorial, we get to forwarding and replying and attaching and so forth. So we cover a lot of, and then we cover the address book as well. So we cover a lot of ground in these tutorials. We try to keep them simple, assuming that a person is basically a beginner. And they're simple enough, yet comprehensive enough, that a person's going to learn quite a bit about the program. And I think it will also teach them in the long run how to go about learning other things about the program that we might not cover.
One of the things that interests me as I've been reading these tutorials is that you do encourage the user to explore the screen with their review cursor, which is something that a surprising number of users don't do. They still don't understand what that JAWS cursor or the review function keys in WindowEyes are actually for and what their benefits are.
Yes. We find that when people call, they want to know things about the screen or whatever, and they haven't really thought about using that JAWS cursor or the WE cursor, and you can learn a lot if you just take that cursor and get around the screen and explore the different parts of it and get into different areas, click a few things, see what happens. You can't really hurt anything.
When you put these tutorials out and people buy them, do they result in a lot of kind of tech support inquiries that come to you, and if so, how do you deal with those?
We get a few tech support calls. Somebody will call and have a question about something in our tutorial, and maybe it didn't work quite the way we said it was going to work. Usually, that could be for any number of reasons. Could be difference in settings on their computer. Anything could happen, you know. But we are usually able to walk them through this and get these problems resolved. But we don't get a lot of tech support type calls.
Give us a rundown of some of the most recent additions to the tutorials that are available for purchase or download.
All right. We have recently gotten tutorials out for Outlook Express 5 with JSW and WindowEyes. We have Outlook 2000 with JSW and WindowEyes. We also have Word 2000 with Outlook, or excuse me, with JSW and WindowEyes. We also have, of course, Excel 97 with JSW and WindowEyes. We have one tutorial for beginners in Access, MS Access database, and that's available with JAWS for Windows. At the time we did that tutorial, Window Eyes was not yet working with Access. Right now, what we are working on is an ambitious project, and we are working on an intermediate tutorial for Microsoft Access with JAWS for Windows and Window Eyes. We're going to teach database design. We're going to teach about queries, about forms, about reports. We're going to be fashioning this around some things that people would do around the home. For instance, keeping a checkbook, doing a Christmas card list, or an address list, and that sort of thing. So this is an ambitious project, and we're really excited about this. I indicated earlier that we are also looking into an accounting package. We are looking, briefly, at Peachtree accounting package. We have found that with some reclassing of Windows, that JAWS for Windows is going to work pretty well with this program. Haven't tested yet with Window Eyes. That's my next project. And I want to do that because we are finding that Peachtree, I think, is going to be a real fine package to work with. But we haven't gotten to the tutorial stage on that one yet. We're still doing some experimentation. So don't know how far along that's going to get. We may run into some roadblocks. Don't know. But we're at least looking into that right now.
As I listen to the description of the tutorials that you're offering and that you're planning to offer, I wonder whether you had considered doing a kind of an overview of Office 2000, because one of the things that can often be quite difficult is to work out the best Office application to do a particular task. For instance, you could do your Christmas card list as a mail merge file in Word, or you could use an Access database, and there are a number of other examples of that where you could use Excel for something or Access or even Word. And then you get into contacts and Outlook and the way that they integrate with Word and things like that. It can be quite confusing to know the best application to use for a given purpose.
Interesting you should mention that, Jonathan, because on our website, on the Assist webpage, we have in there a handout that we did recently at CSUN, where we introduced people to how to do charts in Microsoft Excel. We taught them how to make a PowerPoint presentation and put the chart in this PowerPoint presentation. We talked about Outlook, as a matter of fact, and we showed them how to schedule appointments in Outlook and accept appointments and work with the calendar and that sort of thing. We went through a whole hour-long presentation, which was past the overflowing, I should say. We got an email from a gentleman who indicated that our presentation was one of the best that he saw at CSUN this past year. So we have it in a Microsoft Word handout format, and we also have it in a text file that people can download from our website.
And that's freely available for download, is it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Excellent. We haven't talked too much about the audio tutorials. What format do you record those in? Is that in the NLS type format?
Yes, we basically record those in the NLS type format. We have done a couple of tutorials. The Word 2000 tutorials, I believe, are recorded at the faster speed. What we did was we contracted with an outside source to do those particular tutorials. We basically have, in our state, we have prisoners who are volunteer tapists for the Department for the Blind. And they participate in this project, but sometimes they get overloaded. And we wanted to make sure and get these tutorials out. And so we sent these tutorials to a professional who recorded these tutorials digitally, but it was on a faster speed, you know, the regular speed, 1/7, I guess it is. But he did an excellent job. And it was the Word 2000 one that he did, and did a very, very fine job.
You have a very accessible e-commerce service there that allows people to purchase the products. Did that take a bit of work in finding a truly accessible, flawless e-commerce system?
that took a lot of work. We really had to struggle to find something that would work right. And, these folks, and I'll tell you, I can't remember the name of the place. I wish I could right offhand, but right off the top of my head, I don't remember it. But they have done a fine job. Told them what we needed, told them how that it needed to be accessible so blind people could download and so forth and use it just like a sighted person could. And they've been very accommodating.
Okay, so remind us as we conclude as to where people can go to have a look at the site, obviously to pick up this free download of the CSUN handout, which sounds exceptionally useful, and also to browse the tutorials and maybe make a purchase or two.
All right, the address is http://www.blind.state.ia.us/assist, that's A-S-S-I-S-T, and you can find the tutorials there. Also, if you want to send your request with your credit card information to us, you may send that to assist, A-S-S-I-S-T, at blind.state.ia.us. You may also call, if you wish, at 515-281-1357, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Daylight Time.